This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Summer is upon us, and the summer blockbuster season is in full swing. What constitutes a blockbuster, though, and what movies are currently in the run of being one? Joining me to answer these questions is managing editor at Movies.com and contributing editor at Fandango, Eric Davis. Thanks for coming on, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I've been having a little bit of an issue when it comes to movies. Could you please define what a summer blockbuster means? Because to me, a lot of blockbuster movies come out during the fall or, you know, even in the winter itself. I mean, what movies can define themselves as summer blockbusters anymore?
Well, I mean, you are right. I think that big movies now exist on more places on the yearly calendar than maybe they used to in the 80s or the 90s. I think the summer blockbuster, I mean, the blockbuster in general is a really big movie with a really big budget, over $100 million budget. Usually driven by its special effects, usually groundbreaking special effects, big IMAX movies, big casts. I think what defines sort of a summer blockbuster is we tend to see a lot of big franchise sort of sequels, remakes, reboots. A lot of those are in the summertime. You know, if you look at the way it's been tracking lately, a lot of big superhero movies are in the summertime. Just this summer alone, we have a Guardians of the Galaxy blockbuster. We have a Wonder Woman blockbuster. We have a Spider-Man blockbuster. And so I think that every year it changes depending on sort of what the audience tastes are. But I think generally a blockbuster is what I just said, a really big movie, big characters, well-known characters, and it's driven by its spectacle, by its big special effects.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense because I think it was last year. It kind of messed me up because Deadpool came out, I think, in February. And then Dawn of Justice came out like not too long after that. And I was like, shouldn't this be in the summer?
Yeah, well, you know, that's what's happening now. You know, we're seeing films like Deadpool. And Deadpool, I don't know if I would consider it a blockbuster. I think the sequel to Deadpool will be more of a blockbuster, specifically a summer blockbuster because it comes out next summer. But I think that, you know, because the summer season is so crowded and there's so many big movies stuffed into a short period of time, you know, studios are now spreading them out more across the year, mainly because they want more box office dollars. You know, when you open up a big movie only a week after another big movie and right behind that is another big movie, it's hard to really make the money that these movies kind of have to make in order to justify their big budgets. And so, you know, you're seeing now big blockbusters in March, in April, you know, especially around the holidays, Thanksgiving. We have two giant superhero movies coming out in November alone.
That is so true. I mean, you wouldn't think that they would bring it out during a holiday like Thanksgiving or even around Christmas because, you know, you would think people are home, they're on holiday, they don't want to watch a movie. But it works, and I think that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, I think some people would say that's exactly why they come out around then is because everybody is home, they're out of school, a lot of people are out of work, and they're all with their families, and they want to get out of the house, you know, and so what do? Is they go to the movie, especially, you know, in sort of places where it's colder in the wintertime, and there's not much to do, and if you're stuck in the house with your family, you know, sometimes the best reason to get out is to go to the movies. And so that's why we see a big Star Wars movie coming out around Christmas this year. We see a big Thor movie and a big Justice League movie. And especially around Thanksgiving, we'll see a Pixar movie or a big family movie because they know the kids are off and out of school. And it's the perfect time for them to go to the films.
Now, you always think of this, you know, summer blockbuster movies. But what about sleeper movies? Are there any sleeper movies out this year that you think people should go see?
Well, I definitely think there are sleeper movies. You know, what's interesting about the summertime is that a lot of the films that premiere at the big film festivals earlier this year, so, you know, the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah in January, or the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin in March, where a lot of these big new up-and-coming indie movies debut, what happens is they come out in theaters during the summertime, and they call it counter-programming. So a lot of studios feel like, okay, we have a giant Spider-Man movie coming out. Well, what can we open opposite for people that don't want to see the giant Spider-Man movie, that maybe want to see a smaller, more personal, more intimate family drama? There's a film out right now called The Big Sick, which is one of my favorite movies of the year. I saw it at the Sundance Film Festival. It's a smaller film about about sort of the complexities of a relationship between a white woman and an Indian man, Kumail Nanjiani, if you're familiar with that comedian. He stars. He's really great. And it's based on his real-life relationship with his wife now. And it's a super great, intimate, small, personal family dramedy that is really, really spectacular and may even come into the conversation when it comes Oscar time. So there are some sleeper movies. There are some smaller films. And I think sort of sometimes it's harder to find them because of all the blockbuster noise. We have a great little indie guide show on YouTube for Fandango, where we have a girl, Alicia Malone, who runs through all the indie movies that are out. And so if you're looking for them, there are places to find them, and definitely spend some time around Fandango or Rotten Tomatoes, and you'll see them amidst the bigger blockbusters.
Man, that sounds like a really good movie, but I wouldn't have heard about it if it wasn't for you. Man, dude.
Yeah.
But, you know, my thing is, when it comes to movies, you're right. You get clouded by, like, superhero movies. Do you think it's a bit overdone? Shouldn't they kind of gracefully bow out and allow maybe different genres to pop up?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, the reality of Hollywood is nothing is going to gracefully bow out if it's still making a lot of money. You know, they're gonna keep riding the money train until there's no more money left on that money train. But, you know, I think that one interesting thing that we're seeing with some of these movies is that they're sort of trending towards smaller scale, more character-driven blockbusters. Just this summer alone, you know, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, there's a Planet of the Apes movie that's coming out in a couple of weeks. You know, the spectacle is still important, but we're seeing now character is sort of trumping spectacle. And while you're still going to get some big kind of special effects-driven scenes, it seems like the movies are investing more in their character-driven stories than they are in wowing you with special effects, because Hollywood knows, you know, we've seen it. We've seen all the big explosions. We've seen planets be destroyed. You know, there's not much you can surprise an audience with when it comes to special effects anymore. And so what do you do then? Then I think you have to double down on your stories and your characters, because if people are invested in your characters and their journey, then it doesn't matter that they've seen a special effect before, because what they're invested in is the story, you know? And so I think that what we're going to see is not so much superhero movies go away. I think we'll see more of them, but I think we're going to see different ones. We're going to see different genres. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy is a space opera. Spider-Man Homecoming is a coming-of-age high school movie, you know? So I'm fine seeing superhero movies if they keep changing it up like that and they keep investing in their characters more so than the spectacle.
I am so glad you talked about character development, because that was the reason why I didn't go see Wonder Woman, is because I thought, oh my God, there's going to be no character development. It's just going to be like almost some Michael Bay-esque, you know, explosions and fights. And I was like, I've seen it before. But I didn't go see Wonder Woman. And it turns out it actually has a lot of character development. Could you tell me a little bit more about that, though?
Oh, yeah. No, I think Wonder Woman has a tremendous amount of character, and it's sort of driven by its character in Wonder Woman, you know. And I think that that film surprised a lot of people. It's right now, it may take over Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 for the biggest moneymaker in the United States over the summer season, which is something no one saw coming. And I think what it speaks to the audience's desire to see more female-driven blockbusters. And I think that there is an appetite out there for it. And I think in the case of Wonder Woman, you know, we really saw sort of, they kind of played around with the story where it was part, you know, kind of humor, part romance, part adventure film. You know, some of the old summer blockbusters that I grew up with gave you a little bit of everything. You know, some of my favorite ones, like Jurassic Park, there's a little bit of everything in that movie. There's action, there's romance, there's suspense, there's comedy, you know, there's sadness, there's every kind of, it runs the gamut in terms of emotions. And I think the best summer blockbusters are able to find that balance and run the gamut. And Wonder Woman reminded me of those older blockbusters, especially the Superman movies that Christopher Reeve was in, the first couple, because these are films that really run the gamut in terms of emotional and in terms of spectacle. And I think that's what Wonder Woman delivered. And I think that's why so many audiences, so many people are so in love with that film, is because it's just entertaining every kind of moviegoer and not just, you know, the superhero fan.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard people like came out a little bit teary-eyed and I'm like, man, I got to go see this movie. It's making people laugh, cry. Like, what is this? This is a roller coaster of emotions here.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I've been telling people since I saw it back in May that I think it's going to be one of the more entertaining films that comes out this summer. And I still believe that. I think it really is. And if you haven't seen it yet, and you're sort of saying, hey, I got to go to the movies, I haven't been in a while, I would definitely see Wonder Woman. I think it'll give you your money's worth, put it that way.
Okay, so I think that I want to kind of twist it a little bit, because when it comes to Wonder Woman, a lot of people said, you know, a lead female actress, it's not going to work. And I kind of want to say, do you think that it was because of Ghostbusters, the reboot, that people were like, oh, is this what we have to look forward to an all-female cast? Or do you think it's just because they don't expect a lead female, like a superhero like this?
I think people just want something that's different. You know, I think for decades now, we've been seeing big summer action movies that are led by male characters. And I think that we're at a time right now in history where there's so much different kind of entertainment. You know, television has blown up in a whole way. There's streaming. There's so much, so many different storytellers, and even on YouTube, you know, with YouTubers. And I think there's so many different storytellers, and there's so many different kinds of storytellers, men, women of all different, you know, colors and shapes and sizes. And I think that because that is what's happening right now, then people just logically want to see that representation in all facets of their entertainment, including the movies. And so people want to see more female-driven movies. They want to see more female-driven stories and characters. And, you know, not all of them are going to be successful. You know, the Ghostbusters reboot, that was a big sticking point for a certain kind of fan. I didn't necessarily agree with them. You know, I am of the opinion that if you remake a classic movie, it doesn't negate that classic movie. That classic movie still exists. You can go watch it. You can still enjoy it like you've always enjoyed it. And if somebody does something new with it, you could either enjoy that or not enjoy that. But it shouldn't take away from your love of that classic movie. And so, you know, I think Ghostbusters was just a really sort of hot property for a lot of people because they grew up with it. But I enjoyed that film, and I think they did a good job with it. I thought those four women, you know, knocked it out of the park personally. But I just think it speaks to, you know, audiences want something different, and they want, you know, that not only in story, but in who's telling that story and who they're seeing sort of play that story out on.
I'm so glad you liked the movie, because I liked Ghostbusters. I thought that was a pretty funny movie. But I am known amongst my friends to like really bad movies. So it's kind of nice to know you liked it, too.
You know what? A bad movie it's not bad if you like it. You know what I'm saying? I am of the opinion that there aren't any bad movies, because even if a movie, even if critics trash it and nobody likes it, there are people out there that like it and really enjoy watching it. And so, you know, no matter what is out there, it may not be loved by the masses, but I think that there are people that find that like it and enjoy it, and you know, more power to them.
You know what? You're right about that. That reminded me of Labyrinth when it came out in the 80s. It was a flop. And I think Jim Henson, he passed away thinking this movie, oh my God, my whole studio, everything, my brand is ruined. And then, you know, 20, 30 years later, it's like, oh my God, Labyrinth is the best movie ever.
I know. I always think about that too, is what movies that are coming out now are going to be the Labyrinths in 20 years from now. You know, what movies that kind of maybe didn't get good reviews and maybe kind of went unnoticed will all of a sudden find this kind of cult status 15 years from now. That's always fun to kind of look back and say, I had no idea this movie was going to turn into this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, for people who are interested in knowing more about movies and you, where can they find you at?
Well, if you're on social media, you could find me on Twitter at Eric Davis, E-R-I-K-D-A-V-I-S. You'll see all of my ramblings and any kind of interviews or stories that I write or what I think about movies. I usually put on there. And other than that, you can come over to Fandango, and I'm doing a lot of stuff over there and a lot of big interviews. And if you're curious to know more about the movies that are coming out and what critics think and what audiences think, I definitely recommend Rotten Tomatoes and making that a stopover in your sort of daily perusing online in terms of entertainment choices that you're looking to make.
Well, thanks a lot, Eric. I really appreciate you being here.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.